Welcome to the Garden Angelus, where we talk about flowers, veggies, and all the best dirt. I'm Dee from Oklahoma.
And I'm Carol from Indianapolis.
Good morning, Carol. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Dee. 2019.
It couldn't get here any sooner, in my opinion.
It's a big year for me.
Why is it a big year for you?
Because I have one of those milestone birthdays that ends in zero.
Oh, you're going to be 30.
Yes. Yes, at least 30. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything for a friend.
I appreciate that. Well, a little more than 30. Like double.
Oh, really?
Double 30.
Oh, well, you can just say you're 30 squared.
There you go. And my birthday's going to be on a national holiday this year.
It is?
It's a national holiday.
What holiday?
Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, nice. So nice time to be born.
So I go around and tell people, yeah, my birthday's a national holiday this next year.
Of course you would notice that. Mine sometimes is on Labor Day, but, you know, I don't get real excited about it.
Yeah. Well, you know what New Year's Day means, right?
It means New Year's resolutions.
And we've got some, don't we, Dee?
We do. We have some good New Year's resolutions. You go first.
Okay, so first thing we want to talk about is we're going to grow some kind of a flower that we've never grown before. And so I've totally cheated on this resolution because I'm going to grow flowers that I've grown before. The difference is...
Wait. You promised to grow something new, and you aren't going to grow anything new?
I am growing something new. I've decided to grow a whole bunch of different varieties of marigolds.
Marigolds?
I am. I've done this before. There, a while back, and it wasn't even in this garden, I decided to buy all different varieties of sunflowers and grow them. And so I had what I called my own little mini national collection of sunflowers. Have you heard of these national collections?
Oh, yes, because I've been to England many times, and so, yes.
Right. We don't really have national collections, but so I just decided I was going to go seek out all different varieties of marigolds, the small or the dwarf ones that are often called the French marigolds, and then the tall ones often called African marigolds, and I was going to grow those out in my vegetable garden because they're easy to grow annuals. So I'm going to grow a collection of marigolds and just... find anything I can find that's different.
Do you have trouble with spider mites? Because down here in the South, we have a huge problem with spider mites
on marigolds. I have not had problems with spider mites on my marigolds recently, but I do remember as a kid, you'd go out there in September and the entire plant would be like somebody had put saran wrap or something over it, and it was the webs of the spider mites. So, yeah. I'm sure when I do a whole collection, that's going to be a problem, but I'll figure it out when I get to it.
Well, you know, you can just spray them really heavy with water because spider mites do not like water. You can also use neem oil, but that's a bit of overkill and it can hurt other creatures. But water doesn't hurt much of anything except for spider mites. But you have to really...
Yeah, and these are annuals, so I'll pull them up when I'm done and I probably won't compost them. And leave any of those spider mite eggs. I'll probably throw them away. But I'm going to grow a national, my own personal national collection of marigolds. What's your flower, Dee?
Of course you are. So I'm going to grow a new sunflower. I grow sunflowers every year. I've decided to really focus on my three long beds as being my cutting garden this year. Instead of as many vegetables. It's an unfortunate fact in my garden that as much as I like vegetable gardening and I like eating vegetables, everywhere that has vegetables slowly gets taken over by flowers. And I do love a good cutting garden. So without further ado, I'm going to do the Florenza Drift sunflower. Yeah, Florenza. I just thought it was pretty, and that's the one I'm going to do.
So what makes it so pretty?
Well, it has a halo, and it's got kind of, it's not a traditional yellow sunflower. It has a darker edge of burgundy, and then the middle part is a halo that's lighter. And I like that look. One thing I do need to check, though, before I actually buy it is I need to make sure it's a good nectar source. Most of the time, sunflowers are, but some of the pollenless pollenless, it's hard to say, varieties are not as good as some of the others for bees.
That's right.
And as you know, I have honeybees.
Yes. So you definitely don't need things without pollen. You need nectar sources.
I also will probably again grow the Double Click Cranberries Cosmos just because they're so darn pretty. And with that sunflower, that burgundy sunflower,
that does sound
really
nice
together.
So we want to talk about vegetables?
Yeah, let's talk about vegetables. I've got two. We don't have to limit ourselves to
one. One new vegetable
in
2019? No. No. Sky's the limit.
What are you going to grow?
Well, I went first on vegetables, so you go first.
Okay, so I picked out two. One is the Itachi Asian cucumber, because I like Asian cucumbers. They're less bitter. Of course, that means they're more prone to be picked on by cucumber beetles, but whatever. And then they grow nice, straight, and long, and they're just easier and milder to eat. And the other one is an ancho pepper called Baron. I really like ancho peppers. They aren't too hot, but they have a little spice, and they're beautiful. They're that beautiful dark green. Baron's the variety I'm going to grow this year.
I find with my pepper plants, I plant them for a couple of weeks, they look pretty good. And then they go through a period of, I don't know, a month where they're pathetic and they're dropping their leaves. And I'm thinking that I should pull them out because they make my garden look terrible. They make me look like a horrible gardener. And then right when I think they're done, they pull out of it, and somehow they're growing new leaves and they're becoming really bushy, and I end up with a big crop.
So why do you think they go through this kind of damping off period? Why do you think
I don't know if it's my climate. Like I said, they eventually come out of it, and I had some beautiful pepper plants towards the end of the season. But if you came to my garden on July 1st, you'd think, oh, that girl don't know how to grow peppers.
Well, here in the South, they grow really fast, and you put them in the ground, and they might sulk just a little bit, but not very long, and then they're off to the races. But it's hot here. It's very hot. And so I think they like the hot weather. Do you feed your peppers when you plant them? I feed my tomatoes, my peppers, and I also feed my eggplants.
We've talked about being lazy gardeners. And so the most feeding that I would do is I would throw a couple of cupfuls of organic fertilizer and sort of mix it into the soil when I plant it. But to go out and specifically fertilize like 2 months later or 2 weeks later or a month later.
Yeah, because what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to feed them a little bit when we plant them with something that isn't high in nitrogen, right? And then about the time they bloom, we're supposed to dig a little hole around each one and add more fertilizer. I don't ever do that.
I don't either. We've talked about this before. There's the what you should do and then what Carol and Dee do, which is as little as possible.
Well, I'm busy. By then, I garden about an acre and a half. I don't have time to mess with no silly pepper plants. I might put some more leaf mold around them, you know, like if I think they're getting too hot. One more thing we might talk about with peppers really quickly is down where I live, they get sun scald. So those really cute little peppers that you see in the store, the little mini bells, those lunchbox peppers that are sweet, they get sun scald really bad in Oklahoma. So they do, and so do my tomatoes. So I try to buy peppers that have a little thicker wall.
That's a good idea. We don't really have that many problems.
So tell me about your veggies.
Well, my veggie, I got this collection theme going for 2019. I had a really good success growing peppers in pot or peppers. Lettuce in pots up by my house.
Did you just say peppers? You just said peppers?
I meant lettuce. I said lettuce. I meant lettuce.
Okay. Lettuce. You're growing a bunch of different lettuces in different pots, or are you growing a mesclun mix?
Well, I'm going to use more of my pots on the patio to grow lettuce because I can go out and just pick a few for a salad or a sandwich or whatever. And in the shaded areas on the patio, I can grow lettuce all summer long, I found out. So I'm going to do, again, a research and get all different kinds of lettuce greens to
plant.
Okay,
so
red ones, green ones, yellow ones.
That growing them all summer on the... That's hilarious. That would never happen here. But I love that you can. We have a very short lettuce season. It's a beautiful, short lettuce season, sort of like your youth, you know?
No, I didn't think I could, but then I had a pot that I didn't have any flowers to put in it, And I thought, you know what, I'm going to throw these lettuce seeds in there and see what happens. And voila, I had lettuce all summer long.
Nice. I like it.
So I'm going to do arugula, endive, lettuce, anything that's a green that you don't have to cook to eat.
Sounds good to me. If I could do that, I would so do it. I can grow lettuce in the spring and in the fall. And I can also grow it in, if we're having a really mild winter, then I can grow it in covered areas over the winter time. Actually harvest it. It doesn't grow much, but you put it in the fall. I cannot grow lettuce in the summer. I can grow peppers, though.
What about some of those lettuce varieties that they say are slow to bolt?
Yeah, they're slow to bolt here, too. They don't bolt. In fact, there's one, I think it's called Nevada, which is one of my favorite varieties of lettuce that doesn't bolt, but it turns so bitter that you can't possibly eat it.
Well, then what's the point?
Exactly. That first hot day, that's over with. It either bolts or it tastes bitter. So you know when lettuce season is coming to an end, when you gather a leaf out in your garden, snip it off, put it in your mouth, chew it up, and go, oh, yuck.
And spit it out.
Spit it out.
So that covers our vegetable for 2019. Me growing collections and you having specific varieties. I'm going to have to get somebody to give me some free seeds or I'm going to go broke.
Oh, I think you can get some free seeds from a couple of places.
Probably. So let's talk about all the best dirt. We're going to talk about some gardener's resolutions.
We can talk about gardener's resolutions, and then I've got another little piece of dirt that has to do with my sunflower.
Ew. Do you have any gardening resolutions? I have some listed here that I've written about in the past.
Oh, you go first.
So you know how sometimes you buy a plant and you don't know where you're going to plant it in the garden, so it sits in this pot all summer?
No, that never happens to me.
Oh, you lie, you lie. So your resolution's going to be, I'm going to stop lying about my gardening.
Yes, I do know what that's like.
So I thought that would be a good resolution to not buy plants unless you know exactly where you're going to go plant them.
That's a great resolution. And I'll be honest, my garden, my perennial garden, is too full now. And my husband keeps talking about, you know, expanding it yet again. And I'm like, and who's going to work in it? So I probably, if I can stop myself, I'm not going to buy any plants this spring. What?
But what happens if you see a plant that you've never seen before and you don't know where you're going to plant it? You're going to have to throw that resolution out because you might resolve that you're really going to go for it and buy new plants that you've never seen before. Mm.
Well, I hope I don't do that. I hope I just buy the plants for my front pots and my back pots and my seeds for my veggie garden and my other cutting garden, and that's it. That's going to be my resolution. I'm not buying perennials, shrubs this year. Maybe I'll buy a tree.
How long do you think that resolution is going to last?
Well, I'm sure you'll keep me, you'll tell me as soon as I fail. It might last for maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes. But I'm going to try.
Do you ever buy plants off the markdown racks at the store?
You mean at the box store where they mark them down all the time?
Yeah, where they've totally not taken care of them and they look like, well, they don't look good. They look pretty close to compost. But you think, hey, for $1, I'm going to try that?
I'm not as tempted as I used to be because I kind of have gotten over saving plants. I decided to set a boundary there and say it's not my responsibility to save the plants that other people kill.
There you go. So we don't need that resolution because neither one of us, I avoid those racks. I've never seen anything on that rack that was worth saving.
No, because usually they're half dead, but there are a lot of people clustered around. I mean, if you have a source within the box store, I have a friend who has a source, and so she gets called the minute that they're marked down, and she has bought some really great stuff, but that's because she has a source.
Yeah, which is, that should be another New Year's resolution, which is befriend your local garden center people, because once they know who you are, they will tell you about new plants that have come in that you might like.
No, they'll help you there, just like we help people. Why do you think we started blogging? Because we wanted to enable other people, I think. I have a resolution.
Yeah.
You want to hear mine?
What's that?
My resolution is that I'm going to the gym again today. I went to the gym already this week and lifted weights, and I'm going again today, and I'm going to try to go 3 to 4 times a week because I need to really get strong again for spring. You know, sometimes in the winter, I let myself go, and then I'm in so much serious pain by the time I work out in the garden a couple of days, and I don't want that to happen this year. So that's my resolution.
That is a great resolution. Stay in shape for gardening.
Yeah, because I don't care about other reasons, just for gardening.
That's right. Not for your health, not for your family. Nah, it's just so you feel good when you're gardening.
Exactly, so that you can actually enjoy the process instead of lying in bed crying at night at the end of the day.
Well, I've never done that from pain from gardening. My other resolution is I'm going to weed more often so that I don't have to have like a weekend weeding marathon to get everything back in shape.
Well, now that you're retired, you don't have to do that. I mean, you know, you used to have to do that because you worked all week and you were tired.
You're making my resolution sound really easy.
You can do it.
You can go out there and weed a little bit every day. It's better than going out there once every month and just going crazy. I hope I can keep up with the weeds.
I want to be like some of our friends that we know and love who basically garden even in the wintertime and cut back their grasses and do some other tidying things so you aren't trying to do it all in March.
That is a wondrous thing. And well, so far, our winter has been mild enough that like today it's kind of wet, but I could go out and do a little bit of gardening. But I've lived in this climate my whole life, and I'm not programmed to garden in December and January.
Neither am I, but I don't know if it's climate change or what it is, but like this year, it's really cold today. I think it's 36, but most of this winter hasn't been cold at all, so I could be out there just gardening to my heart's content. Am I? No. Yeah.
And I think about stuff I could do out there, and if I just went out there a little bit at a time, I could get some stuff done. But like I said, I don't go out in January because it's supposed to be cold, even when it's not.
Me neither. I need to go out in February, though. Well, we can talk about that more in February, but there's certain chores I do in February every year because I am a month warmer than you are.
That's right.
Just like the people in Texas, especially south of Dallas, are a month warmer than I am. Which is interesting.
And then you get further south than that, and those people are gardening all the time.
Yeah, we have one friend down in Katy, Texas, and she's gardening. She gardens every day in the winter, but she can't garden in the summer. It's too hot and humid.
That's true. So she gets her break in the middle of the summertime.
Isn't that weird? It's almost like she lives in Australia or something.
Because, let's face it, even though we all love gardening as much as we love gardening, it's nice to have a break.
It is nice to have a break. And it's a good time to think about what you want to do this year, which is so, I can't believe right. We're in 2019.
It's incredible.
Okay, I have another piece of dirt for you, too.
What is that, Dee?
Okay, so I hope I can pronounce this word, but remember how we were talking about sunflowers? Sunflowers have yes. this property, and it's called allelopathy. And allelopathy is the property of basically not being a joiner, not letting other plants grow near them. Okay. And that's been studied a whole lot in the farming community because they plant sunflower seeds for sunflower oil. And then sometimes when they go back into the, I was going to say pasture, but that's not the right word, the growing fields, they go back in the fields. I'm sorry. They go back in the fields. They can't grow something there because of the allelopathy. But it hasn't been studied too much for gardening, but there is one man, I found this on the New York Times, it's a while back, so they may have studied it some more now, but I thought he really had some good answers. His name is Dr. Gerald Leather, and so he studied them in gardens. And the interesting thing about sunflowers and their allelopathy is that it doesn't impede other plants as much if you use organic gardening methods. Because if you put compost back onto the soil, the compost helps to, I guess, disperse the allelopathy and make it not as present for other plants. Also, interestingly, the allelopathy does not apply to grass. Which, in my case, I have grassy weeds more than any other weeds, and I knew that I always had weeds around my sunflowers that were grass. And so, in that respect, it's not that toxic to grasses. Also, it's wild ones. Wild sunflowers are much more toxic than other plants, other sunflowers, like the ones I want to grow. And on top of that, if you think about it, like when I drive down the fields and I'm looking at all the wild sunflowers, when I drive down the roads out right. where I live, they are pretty much all by themselves because their allelopathy does not extend to themselves. But if you have highly organic soil it stops discouraging plants. He says that the zone of discouragement extends only about a foot from the sunflower, and not all plants are equally affected, especially grasses. Isn't that an interesting piece of dirt?
That is an interesting piece of dirt. And do you have walnut trees in Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah, we have wild walnut trees, and they also have allolopathy. Allolopathy and walnuts are worse than sunflowers. You really can't grow much near a walnut tree.
You can't grow tomatoes near walnut trees at all.
Yeah, and I think some other brand, you know, other ones too. It's interesting too because I have a different type of sunflower, and I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's one that's more of the wild type, and it was found down in Australia. And actually, things grow around that just fine. So I don't know. I haven't ever really had trouble with it in my garden, but my garden is highly organic and has tons of organic matter, so that might be why.
That could be. Yeah, different plants have that secrete chemicals that keep other plants from growing around
them. It's fascinating.
Survival.
It's back to that survival of the fittest thing again.
Yes. And so I actually got a book about this that I'm getting ready to read. And of course, I tell you, I got a book. I'm getting ready to read it. And I can't think of the title. So I'll put that in
your
show notes. Yes.
Well, you've read, how many books have you read this year? Because maybe that'll help allay the fact that you can't remember this.
I've read 99 books so far I read 99 books in 2018. Actually, no, I read 100 books in 2018. I made it to 100. So don't quiz me on every book. And probably only 25% were related to gardening.
25%? Wow. I would say 40% of mine were related to gardening because I read a lot of gardening books this year.
I think I'll read a lot more gardening books in 2019.
I think you will too.
So I'm going to set my goal to be 100 books again.
Okay, my goal was 52 books, a book a week, but I didn't make it. I think I got to 42.
Well, my original goal was 50, so basically a book a week and a couple of weeks off. And I got to July 1st last year, and I had hit 50, and I thought, oh, just go for it.
That's impressive.
So that's where I decided. Yeah. And my sister, my little bratty little sister, she says, but you don't read very thick books, do you? I'm like, yes, some of them were thick books.
Did she also say they weren't small print, that they were big print?
No, she was not. No, she did not
well,
do that.
Well, that was nice of her.
But yeah, I told her about our podcast, and she promised she'd listen. So now I'm going to find out that she'd listen to me talk about her talking about my book reading.
Yeah, she's going to say something to you about it. Well, I think that wraps us up for today. Everyone, follow us on iTunes. You can subscribe there, and you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and also on Facebook. We'll be glad to answer questions. We'll put anything we talked about in the show notes today. And if you do follow us or subscribe to us on iTunes, could you please give us a good rating if you enjoy this podcast? Because that's how we get more subscribers and how iTunes remembers that we're even here.
And if you have any questions at all, email us at thegardenangelus@gmail.com. And we will be happy to answer.
All right, Carol. Happy New Year, hun.
Happy New Year to you.
Bye.